You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? It's your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. I'm a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Just before we dive into today's episode, I just wanted to remind you guys that NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to another episode here at the Locked On Rams pod. This is your Tuesday episode, your second of the week. And like always, we got an interesting breakdown for today's episode. PFF shared two more rankings, one on the offensive line and one on the defensive line, ranking every single team 1 through 32 on both sides of the trenches there. We're going to spend the first two segments diving into where the Rams landed on those lists. And I can give you guys a hint, it was very high on both lists, maybe surprising for the offensive side of the ball, but that's where we will begin. And then in the final segment, I kind of wanted to do something a little bit different and take a look at comparing Sean McVay to former Rams head coach Jeff Fisher. Probably not the brightest or the best thing you want to hear at this point. Some of us are still just getting over the PTSD of Jeff Fisher, but I kind of want to break down just how great Sean McVay has been compared to a guy who's pretty much thought of as league average in Jeff Fisher. But I do want to begin with the rankings on the offensive line first from PFF. This was written by one of my colleagues over at PFF, Steve Palazzolo, longtime writer. The guy is absolutely tremendous at what he does. And he has the Rams ranked as the number 8th offensive line in the entire NFL. And that to me is actually kind of surprising. I'm not going to lie. We dove into some of the PFF rankings in terms of the halfbacks, the receivers, a couple of those weird positions last week where I thought the Rams were sort of a victim of their own success, if you recall. Talking about that, you know, maybe they've been so good that they're almost underrated to some degree, and it felt like they were at some of those positions. But now you look at the offensive line in totality as a whole, and they're thought of obviously as pretty good, ranking 8th overall in the entire league, top 10, especially when you consider the loss of Austin Blythe at center. A lot of fans were very confused why the Rams let him go and how they were going to actively and properly replace him. And so, you know, Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic came on the podcast, and we even talked about it from one of our articles way back when. The Rams slid former right guard Austin Corbett to center. It sounds like he's going to play center this season, barring anything crazy, I'm guessing. And he was obviously a very solid player for the Rams last year. And in his spot at right guard is going to be first-time starter Bobby Evans. Now, outside of them, the rest of the positions remain the same. From left to right, you have Andrew Whitworth at left tackle, David Edwards at left guard, now Austin Corbett at center, Bobby Evans at right guard, and Rob Havenstein at right tackle. Now, why Steve ranked him this high? He talks about Andrew Whitworth still being an elite tackle, grading out with an 86.8 PFF grade last year, the 6th best mark in the NFL. The guy is unreal. I mean, he's never really aged. He continues to play amazing football, but he's not the only guy that's still performing very well there. Right tackle, Rob Havenstein, enjoyed a nice bounce back season after a 2019 campaign where he had some injuries. I think it was a hip or an ankle, maybe both. And it obviously bled over into his play because he suffered. His production was not as good. And he ultimately did miss some games too. Now, his 80.6 overall grade last year, this past season, ranked 14th. And that was a lot closer to his average play over the course of his career in the NFL. So I think we finally saw him start to get healthy and put the best tape that he's put on, you know, in some time back on the field for the Rams last season. Now, Steve also does mention that the trio inside, specifically Edwards and Corbett, were both a lot better than I guess most people gave them credit for last year. Edwards coming in at 18th among guards with his 70.5 overall PFF grade, and Corbett ranking 11th in his grade with a 73.4. Steve does mention that his pass blocking grade does need to improve a little bit. It was only a 61.5 last year. That ranked 43rd amongst guards, so obviously not that great, but there is one little interesting tidbit here. Steve, I guess, probably didn't see that the Rams were, in fact, sliding Corbett to center and placing Bobby Evans in at right guard. So here he has suggested that Brian Allen would return as the starting center, which is obviously not going to be the case as we know right now. And I think that's a positive because Corbett came over from Cleveland last year, put together a very solid season. 2019 was a little bit shaky, but those were basically his first starts in the NFL. He's seen a lot more development last year. And ultimately, a lot of people thought center would be his best position in the NFL. So now he gets to slide into arguably his best spot. He's been a player that's been ascending over the past few seasons. And I think we can continue to expect to see at least average play from him, if not better. The one big question mark, obviously, that remains is right guard. Now, Corbett starting at center, right guard, Bobby Evans now a first-time starter. I'm not really sure what to expect, to be quite honest with you. He hasn't played a lot of NFL football. And when we saw him last as a true starter, all the way back to his days at Oklahoma when he was a left tackle, so completely on the different side, goes from left to right. Not only that, but goes from tackle to guard. So quite a big transition for him. He did start in the playoff games last year, and he looked shaky at best, in my opinion. Did look a little bit better as a run blocker than as a pass protector. But, you know, the Rams ultimately do a good job of finding guys that they value in terms of the skill sets that they bring to the table. And they do a good job of ultimately finding a way to develop these players into startable players, maybe even players that excel at some point. So they have earned the right to start Bobby Evans, maybe without question. I know me personally, I'm a little bit more apprehensive of this offensive line. I'm a little bit more concerned with some of the things that could happen. I mean, you're pretty much one injury away from starting a guy that probably should not be starting anywhere in the NFL, not a ton of depth at those spots. So, you know, there are some potential issues for the Rams, but from the outside looking in, from PFF, some of these other sources, apparently the Rams' offensive line might be better than a lot of us expect, even though they didn't address it in the draft. They didn't add anyone in free agency. They're going to go into next season with the guys that they've drafted or traded for and that they've developed on their own. And so far, you know, the results have been pretty good for the Rams, but we will see what's going to happen for them going into this season. I'm very intrigued if they can withstand and prove Steve right with this ranking of 8th overall across the NFL. Now we're going to flip to the other side of the trenches, and in the next segment, we're going to dive into the ranking for the defensive line from PFF. I think you guys can expect a very high ranking here with Aaron Donald there, and while we've got you, you can come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP and the page at Locked On Rams. Folks, are you having any car troubles? You ever go outside to find your car tires flat or your car won't start? Well, you should absolutely check out rockauto.com for your service needs. Rock Auto is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. It's quite a long time. That's nearly as old as I am, 27. So, you know, there's no better time than right now to support family-owned businesses. If you guys can, I urge you to try and do that. I'm trying to do that as well with this strange COVID stuff that's going on in our world. If you're a do-it-yourselfer or a professional and you're looking for reliably low prices, you should check out Rock Auto. All you have to do is just go to their website and check out all their available parts. It's a never-ending list, and if your car needs it, they've probably got it. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us so they know that we sent you. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NBA and NHL playoffs are officially live. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the second segment of this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. And I did mention what we are going to spend this segment talking about, and I want to look at that defensive line. This article, another one over at PFF, written by another one of my colleagues, Ben Lindsay, ranked every single defensive line in the NFL. And like the offensive line, the Rams did rank very high here, except they actually come in higher than what the offensive line did. Now, the offensive line was a bit of a surprise for me. Top 10 came in at number 8. Defensive line, maybe not so much. They came in with a ranking of number 4 in the entire NFL. And I think we all know why. A lot of this has to do with the best player in the NFL playing for the Los Angeles Rams. Number 99, it all begins and it all ends with Aaron Donald. And we know PFF is an absolute Donald darling. I mean, we've ranked Donald in the top 2, top 3 players for like 5 seasons now. This is the one place that knows the true impact of what number 99 brings to the table. every single play, every single game, every single season. We know what he's going to bring. He's going to be the most terrorized player from that defensive tackle spot or any spot across the defensive line. He's going to rack up the most pressures every single season, which he has done for many of the past seasons over the last 4 or 5 years. We could talk about all the sacks that he brings to the table. We know he's going to be an impact player in that regard. He's a great run defender. And not only that, but on top of everything that he does statistically, he also eats up more double and triple teams than any other defensive lineman in football, helping the rest of his players alongside that defensive line produce and be more productive. You look at guys like Dante Fowler and Leonard Floyd, who are specifically mentioned in this piece, in this article, as players that had career years playing next to Aaron Donald, and that's no coincidence. I mean, you look at Dante Fowler, he went from being a very good player with the Rams, got $15 million per year on the open market as an edge rusher, and this past season puts together only a 2-sack campaign for the Atlanta Falcons. And the Falcons were ultimately talking about this guy as a potential trade candidate, cut candidate, and they actually went out in public, Raheem Morris, former interim head coach of the Falcons, and he actually spoke to the media and singled out Fowler as a guy that needs to step up. So clearly not happy with his performance, and I think a lot of that drop-off has a lot to do with him no longer playing next to the best player in football. And you look at the complete opposite for Leonard Floyd, comes over from the Chicago Bears, never really an impact player there. He kind of got close with a nearly double-digit sack season, but never really hit that next gear. Comes to LA in his first season, notches his first double-digit sack season in his career, becomes one of the best run defenders at that edge spot, in my opinion, in the NFL. And not only that, but a guy that was very, very valuable in every regard for the Rams up front. I mean, he was a guy who picked up the defense very quickly, was very good on those stunts, on those games, coming in behind Aaron Donald, coming in behind different defensive tackles, getting some free pressures, getting some cleanup pressures, obviously converted a lot of his pressures into sacks. He had over 10 this season for the first time in his career, and the Rams paid him a lot of money to return because he was a truly legitimate edge rusher. Now, after these two guys is where some of the questions start to come in. Do they have another impact defensive tackle? Do they have another impact rusher coming off the edge? We don't know. We're going to have to see how this season plays out. But fair enough, the Rams do feel good about what they have. They drafted Terrell Lewis in the third round coming out of Alabama last season. Probably had somewhat of a forgettable rookie campaign. Had some knee issues that held him out for multiple games. Didn't really have a productive campaign as a rookie. But, you know, I think this is still a guy that has a lot of potential and a lot of skill and talent. So I wouldn't write him off just yet. The only issue with him is, can you last, you know, 16 games or 17 games now? Can you really depend on this guy to play 17 games and then another 3, maybe another 4 in the playoffs? That seems a little bit far-fetched to me. After him, you got the Oboe Nia Okoronkwos. I think Oboe is actually a very solid player, but like Lewis, he's had a lot of trouble staying healthy in his career, even dating back to Oklahoma, his final season there, his senior season, and now going into the NFL. Can he stay healthy? Because if he can, I think he's probably the second best edge rusher for the Rams this season, and you could probably expect a 35, maybe a 40, 45 pressure season if he's entirely healthy and he plays 17 games. That might lead the edge rushers for the Rams. He might actually be a better edge rusher in terms of beating pass protection consistently snap after snap than Leonard Floyd is. I think they're very, very comparable in that regard. The one difference, Floyd, an elite run defender. Okoronkwo, maybe not so much, but he doesn't have to be. At the end of the day, he and the other guys like Lewis and so forth, they're going to play at that will linebacker spot where your priority is going to be to rush the passer. But not only that, you're going to have to keep contained on that back end, on that backside of running plays, and run down the line of scrimmage and run down running backs from behind, as opposed to setting the edge like a Leonard Floyd, who's going to be playing Sam linebacker. He's the one who's going to have to keep his head up on tackles, on tight ends, and force runs back inside to force players, or, you know, be the guy that's always going to be at the centerpiece of running plays, as opposed to the other guys across from him who are going to have a lot less responsibilities when it comes to playing the run. So those guys need to be a lot more athletic when it comes to the pass rushing aspect of things, and I think that they are. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Rams divide those snaps between a Lewis, a Leonard Floyd, a Oboe Okoronkwo, and who can come in after them. Does anyone else separate themselves as a potential player? You have guys like Justin Hollins, who played a lot of snaps for the Rams last year. Not really great at any one thing, but I feel like he's a very solid and dependable player in that rotation, Is there going to be somebody else? Maybe seventh round pick Chris Garrett. Can he come in and start to separate himself and buy himself a few snaps on defense? Or are the Rams going to be one of those weaker edge units that's really, really going to have to rely on number 99 again, as well as the pressure schemed up from new defensive coordinator Raheem Morris? That was one of the big, big things that Brandon Staley brought to the table, was he did a tremendous job of scheming up pressure. I felt like he knew exactly where his strengths were up front, where his weaknesses were, and ultimately how to make everything work around Aaron Donald, because he's your one key piece, your one golden key that, you know, he's going to unlock everything around him, and they have to be able to play off of what Aaron Donald brings, because you know what he's going to bring to the table in terms of his statistics and his production. But the real key is, what can the guys around him do based off of what Aaron Donald has to absorb from offensive lines? It's going to be fascinating to see if Raheem Morris can tap into that, bring a little bit of what Brandon Staley brought, maybe try and build on that, some games up front, some stunts. We've seen the Rams run a ton of those last season under Brandon Staley. They got very, very creative. Obviously, they did lose Michael Brockers as well, so they need to fill in that hole. Though I do think they're going to have more than enough bodies at the D-tackle spot. A'shaun Robinson, Sebastian Joseph Day. None of those guys are truly impact pass rushers, or at least they haven't been up to this point. It's going to be fascinating to see if they can develop any legitimate push from the interior, from the Robinsons, the Bashes, the Sebastian Joseph Days, Greg Gaines maybe. We're going to see if anyone can step up in this role. The Rams did lose a lot of strength up front in Morgan Fox, Michael Brockers, and then you factor in the Brandon Staley loss as well. There are reasons to be a little bit concerned in terms of what they're going to put on the field as a defensive line, but PFF continues to think that the Rams are going to be one of the better units, and as long as they do have Aaron Donald up front, number 99, as long as he's anchoring that defensive line, they're going to have a legitimate shot to be the best defensive line every single season while that guy is around, in my opinion. It's going to do it for the PFF articles and the rankings for the offensive line and defensive line. And in the final segment, I want to take a fun twist and turn into comparing former head coach Jeff Fisher of the Los Angeles Rams to current head coach Sean McVay, and maybe discuss just the difference between a league average coach and a superior elite one like Sean McVay. And while we've got you, make sure to keep coming back to us this week here at the Locked On Rams podcast. We're going to dive into breaking down the most interesting camp battles at every position going into training camp. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think that my word holds a lot of weight, as I have lost 155 pounds over the last 2.5 years. You guys know that by now. During that case, I was on the lookout for the best protein bar and found one called the Built Bar. I'm telling you guys, the Built Bar, there's nothing like it. They have a bunch of different flavors. They're super delicious, and the texture is truly unlike any other protein bar that I've ever tried. The bars are also healthy. They're low in calories. They're low in sugar. They have 19 grams of protein per bar. They're high in fiber, and they even work for you if you are on a keto diet. You even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, how high is the Titans ceiling with Julio Jones? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment of this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I'm your host, Sosa Cremenges, and I want to spend this final segment in a little bit lighthearted fashion. We're going to look at former head coach of the Rams, Jeff Fisher, compare him to current head coach Sean McVay, and just sort of describe the difference, I guess, and take a look at the difference here between a elite head coach like McVay and an average head coach like Jeff Fisher. We know Jeff Fisher is the king of that 7-9 record, or 8-8 as a lot of people think, but I think he actually finished 7-9 more often in his career than he did at 8-8. But either way, he's hovering around that 500% mark. We know that over the course of his career, 51% win percentage. So he is your quintessential average coach, you know, average at best in every regard. You look at Sean McVay, 67 win percentage. So in that upper tier of, you know, this guy is legit. Now, looking at Jeff Fisher, he had 5 seasons with the Rams, not 5 full seasons, 4 full seasons. And then that final one was only 13 games. He got fired, if you guys recall. And Coach Bones, a.k.a. Coach John Fossil, took over those final 3 games as the interim head coach. Sean McVay, on the other hand, 4 full seasons. So pretty close to catching up to Jeff Fisher here. He's going to hit that mark in week 13 or week 14 this season, I guess, with a bye week. And then we can truly compare how they looked over the course of their first, 77 games comparably with the Rams. But even to this point, Jeff Fisher has 13 games on Sean McVay in terms of how many games they've coached. And Jeff Fisher, over the course of his career with the Rams, 31-45-1 record. That's a 40% win percentage. Sean McVay, 43-21. He already has 12 more wins in 13 less games, a 67% win percentage. So quite a big step up. You look at some of the other statistics. I mean, the offense, the points, how many points they scored. The Rams under Jeff Fisher, I mean, they were brutal. Going from 2012 to 2016, they ranked 25th, 21st, 21st, 29th, and 32nd in points scored on offense. That is obviously horrible. I mean, they never really topped the 20th mark, which is just absurd and just terrible. But not only that, that was what it was like before Sean McVay came around. Now you look at Sean McVay with the Rams, the points scored ranking per year, 2017 through 2020, 1st, 2nd, 11th, and 22nd. 22nd obviously being this past season. That really goes to show you just the difference in these guys and how they've been able to extract, all of this talent, because they have had some overlap. Guys like Tyler Higbee, for example, the Johnny Heckers, the Jared Goffs, a lot of the names that are not with the Rams now, but were back then throughout those days, the Pharaoh Coopers and all these different guys, they had a lot of overlap. And Jeff Fisher was never able to extract that talent when Sean McVay totally is, obviously, has put together one of the best resumes, I guess, throughout the past four seasons among any head coach in the NFL. Now, it is very fascinating to see the difference. You look at Jeff Fisher, league average, like I mentioned, always sort of relied on the defense kind of putting together those tough, gritty defenses that were going to grind it out for four quarters. Sometimes they would gas out at the end and get beat. But for the most part, they were going to keep the Rams relatively close, at least in the wins and loss column. And not only that, but when they were losing, they were relatively close games. You look at Sean McVay, he's already had two offenses ranked inside the top two. And then when you look at the worst ranking this past season, ranking 22nd in points, I think it makes a lot more sense why they go out and get a Matthew Stafford at quarterback. They go out and add more pieces on this offense, the DeSean Jacksons, the Tutu Atwells. It really begins to make a lot of sense. I mean, they were still ranked 11th in yards this past season, so it wasn't all bad. They ranked a lot worse in points, obviously, because of their struggles inside the red zone. They just could not convert very well and had to ultimately settle for 3 points and field goals a lot more often than they wanted or they should have. But I think they're much closer to being a top 10 offense than a lot of people think. You look at the yards, 11th. I mean, that to me proves that they were not very far away last year. And then you double down with the injuries to guys like Darrell Henderson and Cam Akers, and then Jared Goff, obviously, towards the end of the season. And you really start to see an offense that could be a lot better this season, not just because of the additions that they made. I think that's clear cut. We know that they got better in terms of their personnel. But not only that, you look at just some of the guys returning to health, Cam Akers now being the running back one, Darrell Henderson coming in behind him as the de facto running back two, those guys getting all of the carries as opposed to Malcolm Brown getting a lot of touches last year. Now you have DeSean Jackson and Van Jefferson, who I think are both going to be an improvement at the wide receiver three spot over Josh Reynolds. And you have a head coach in Sean McVay who is going to continue to cook up all throughout the course of this offseason. And you know he's going to come to the table with some very innovative stuff, some very fun stuff on offense into the season. I think the Rams are ultimately going to be a top 10 offense, especially when you think about the yards aspect. In terms of the points, I think they will too. Now, how high? It's going to be hard to say. It could be as high as the top 5, could be somewhere in the top 8, could be in the top 12. In my opinion, I think it's going to be in the top 10. They got a shot to be in the top 5. Barring any crazy injuries, barring anything insane happening, a top 8 offense potentially if everything really does go well. I'm super excited to see Sean McVay continue to lead the way for the Rams here, especially on offense. His new toys, you got Matthew Stafford, DeSean Jackson, Van Jefferson now, Tutu Atwell, Cam Akers as the running back one. It's going to be very, very fun to finally see the Rams try to go back to that 2018 offense, try to field the best offense possible. And I do think that what they're being ranked as in terms of being a potential NFC champion, maybe an NFL champion, maybe a Super Bowl attendee, I think it's all very warranted. And at the end of the day, you have to be grateful for a guy like Sean McVay, because you look just back a few years ago to Jeff Fisher and you really begin to remember, this is what league average looks like, and this is what really, really having a good looks like. Over the past 4 years, Sean McVay, That has been a tremendous job coming in from day one, commanding the team, commanding the offense, the coaching staff, everybody in the organization. They've done a tremendous job at harboring a place of success and having the continued success over the past four seasons of continually going to the playoffs and representing the NFC in the championship game, as well as one Super Bowl attendance. I think the Rams are obviously going to try to replicate that going into the season. And you know what? They have a legitimate shot to do it, in my opinion. It's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. As always, I appreciate you guys for listening to another episode here. Make sure to check back tomorrow when we rank the training camp positional battles from least intriguing to the most intriguing. And just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMVP and the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.